countrywide on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Caller Gas, celebrating 80 years, bringing energy to Ireland's homes and businesses.
Now, speaking of sheep, Irish wool has sadly dropped so much in price in recent years that wool from upland sheep is now unsaleable, with some of it being burned or composted on farms. Now, wool from lowland sheep, which is finer, is still selling abroad, but at historically low prices, around 5 cents a kilo, the same price as back in the 30s. Suzanne Campbell has been looking into this. Good morning, Suzanne. Good to see you again. How has it got to this stage?
Wow, a number of factors. I suppose if you look back over the 20th century, you know, nylon was invented during the First World War because the British Army couldn't supply enough wool into uniforms. And they asked DuPont, a chemical firm who we now know is in agrichems and everything, to come up with a solution. And after nylon really came on the scene, I suppose we had every type of polyester, acrylic fabrics, and most of these are made from polymers. Most of what we wear, you know, I'm wearing a fleece today. It's actually a good branded fleece, but it's made from a polymer. It's made from a plastic fabric, you know. Yeah. So most of what we buy are largely synthetic. So we replaced all our wool fabrics, our carpets, our homewares, everything with synthetics. And then the current major decline in wool, I suppose, Damien, started about 10 years ago. We had a situation where all our wools go to the UK, and they still do. And they mainly go to a big factory in Bradford where they are washed and sorted. And then they go to China for knitting yarns, and they're distributed to the rural provinces. And people in China were rurally based. But in the last 10 years, about 300 million Chinese people moved into cities. And what happened was, the wool market that was there for Irish and British wool, for them to knit, you know, heavier garments that you'd see in Ireland in the 1930s and 40s, they stopped wearing them. They moved into centrally heated apartments. They were buying polyester clothing like we all are. They became a middle class Chinese, you know, society of which we sell our beef and our milk to. But what happens then? You've no market for wool. So the market for wool has totally collapsed. Currently, there's about 10,000 tonne of UK and Irish wool from last season still unsold. Another 40,000 tonne is currently coming on stream. And there's no way out of this current situation. If you go out and you buy a lamb's wool sweater today, or I do, or a nice, you know, fine knit, they're from merino sheep. And merino sheep are this light kind of deserty sheep that would be around South Africa, Australia, famously. I suggested to one wool merchant during the week, why don't we bring them over here and farm them here? You can't. If they come over here, they don't thrive. And guess what happens? Their coat thickens. It becomes a big, woolly, upland sheep type coat, or even a lowland sheep. So with this problem, a lot of farmers this year are storing wool. They haven't moved it to the merchants. They're burning it, sadly. They're composting it. It makes a very good compost when it breaks down after a while. But there are also farmers developing solutions. There are people like the Tweed Project in Galway. And this week I visited farmer Michael Burke in Galway, who is a mixed organic farm and a business he started called Woolo, making wool-filled pillows.
Well, this is a quite historic farm. It dates back to 1787, when the house was built for the Archbishop that resided here in 1778 up to 1798. We've always reared sheep on the farm, so currently the farm is organic. We have a flock of breeding sheep, an Albrecht Suckler herd, and we grow and supply organic oats for Flavins and Waterford.
And you have different types of sheep. This paddock here, what are these we're looking at?
These are breeding ewes. There's a mix here of Suffolk with some mule sheep as well. I also have the Galway breed as well, which are a rare breed and ideal for their wool production.
When did you get interested in wool particularly, and developing wool into products rather than just selling it or getting rid of it to merchants the normal way?
As a young boy growing up here on the farm with my dad, we would have shorn the sheep manually, and my dad created a wool pillow from the wool that we'd shorn, and I had many years of sound sleep with that pillow. As I moved on, I worked in the healthcare sector, developing medications for patients for many years, and I realised that in excess of 20% of the population suffers from respiratory conditions such as asthma, allergies, hay fevers, and sleeping on wool, because our airways are closest to the pillow, A wool is an ideal material to sleep on in comparison to the synthetic fibres that we currently sleep on.
And I have some of that carded wool here that you brought back to me, Suzanne. Is this what goes into the pillows?
Yes. So you see, that's been washed in England. We don't have a washing and processing facility here. And that's a big problem for looking at wool products going into the future. It would be a massive investment. It's something that's a very live chat about in the industry all the time. So that carded wool, which is washed, cleaned, it looks so fresh and so nice. It looks like cotton wool. That's all been combed out and carded. That goes into the pillow. I took a pillow off Michael earlier in the week. I slept on it this week, Damien, and honest to God, I'm asthmatic, right? And I have to wake up every night to take my inhaler. It drives me bonkers. And on Thursday night this week, and again last night, I didn't have to wake up to take my inhaler.
Brilliant.
So there's something in this, yeah. I mean, not having polyester right against your face is good. Wool also wicks away heat. So when you get overheated, it takes the heat out. And when you're cold, it keeps the heat in. So you're not getting that clammy pillow type situation, which we're all familiar with. Anyway, I had the pillows in front of me with Michael and I asked him how they're put together.
What we've done is we've carded the wool. It's hand-filled into 300 thread cotton casing and manually stitched and labelled.
And this is a firm one or a soft one? We have different types.
We do. We have firm, we have soft, we have natural wool pillows, and we have pillows infused with lavender as well.
Because lavender helps you sleep, doesn't it?
That's one of the benefits of lavender. It has a lovely calming effect.
Mm. And obviously, you know, we're trying to get out of plastic. So having non-polyester filling right near your head and your airway, that's got to be beneficial as well.
It is. Wool is a natural fibre. It's designed to breathe. It keeps you warm in winter and cool in summer. It also repels moisture, prevents the growth of allergens.
How has the feedback been from people who bought them?
Feedback from our customers is very positive. They've come back to say that they wake up feeling fresher in the morning. They find that they can perform better throughout the day, particularly with the segment of the population that might suffer from allergies, asthma, hay fevers. They find that their conditions have been significantly reduced. There is scientific studies done to demonstrate why, because wool is chemical free, absent of dust mites, which have been identified as a cause for our allergies, and asthma worsens our conditions.
Michael Burke in Galway there. Who else did you speak to, Suzanne?
I talked to Vincent Pierce down in Rathdrum and Wicklow. Any farmer, I suppose, in Leinster and many across Ireland would actually know of the Pierces. They're a very long-standing firm in buying wool. They're wool merchants and they've been buying wool since the turn of the century. Vincent Pierce is like the czar of the wool world in Ireland. He knows absolutely everyone. He even sells wool in Russia. He speaks Russian. He's the honorary consul in Belarus. If anyone knows the wool world, he knows it. He was telling me, you know, the wealth of the north of England was built on wool, and it was wool and fabrics and cottons, even woven in their colonies. There was a law that people weren't allowed to process it, so it had to be shipped back to the north of England. And the wool sack is the name of the seat of the chair in the House of Commons. That's how important a product it is. And when we consider that we're burning it, it's quite hard to kind of get your head around. So his business is buying wool. He told me about the prices, how low they are, and you're going to hear about that now. And I just asked him currently what kind of fleeces he's buying and what is he doing with them.
We're buying from about maybe 25-30% of the farmers who are bringing it in. The other guys are holding it. The price is scandalous. Absolutely a shame, an embarrassment to offer it. But we are tied up with a washing factory in Bradford now, where we buy Irish and English wool. Whatever little business they are doing to the carpet factories, we're able to supply into that. So we are moving something at very low prices into them. The second one is the blacks and the greys we are making the insulation from, which is growing quite rapidly now at the moment, even throughout the virus. We're also trying to come up with new products that we can make out of the wool. Delighted to see the man making the pillowcases over there. The properties of wool are very underrated. It absorbs humidity, toxin absorption, making panels for new buildings to absorb the formaldehyde out of the paints and the timber floor glues, etc., etc. So that's the way wool has to develop. Also, wool insulation, about 15% more effective than rock wool or fiberglass. So therefore, 12 inches in the new building regulations is 10 inches of wool. And I also tell people that if you're moving house, you can take it with you just to re-roll it up again. And we get quite a bit of business out of people who put in these other fibres 10 years ago, and it sinks down on itself. So we advise them to leave it there and cover it with the wool rather than trying to drag it out through the house and creating these fibres all over the place. microfibers will float anywhere in your body. They can go through organs. Also, when you're laying your wool insulation, you don't need a mask, you don't need gloves. You just cut it with a kitchen scissors and away you go.
So that's Vincent Pearce there in Rathdrum. If you're looking for wool insulation, contact him. Looking at all the work we need to do to seal up our houses better and be more sustainable, wool is ideal. The pillows are Woolow in Toome. They're on the web. And, you know, it is something that if we're looking at sustainability and products that are from Irish farms, it has to be part of our slate of things that we think of as important. So great to see new products coming out there.
Yeah, okay. We should teach ourselves a little bit more about wool and its sustainability and all that. Suzanne Campbell, lovely to chat to you. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Still to come on Countrywide. Irish Beef looking for gold seal of approval, the Groton Whiskey Distilling, and John Jordan, CEO of Ornua.
You're listening to Countrywide on RTE Radio 1. Follow us on Twitter at RTE Countrywide.